Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Monday, the 16th day of July, year of our Lord, 2012. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, my show of last Wednesday, the 11th, has set off a firestorm of interest, gone viral, as I say these days. We're going to talk about that this first half hour. We've got a few headlines I want to go over at standeo.com, Earth Change headlines, as we say. Most of them had to do with the drought and weather. Now, the one kind of caught my interest, though. United States Geological Survey says, quote, unquote, the earthquakes were real that hit Louisiana, as if they couldn't be. 3.9 earthquake, Eureka, California. Another headline says the earthquake fault line from Vancouver, from California to Vancouver Island could generate colossal earthquakes. Well, it's not news. You need to be reading this stuff yourself. This morning I'm going to be focusing more on the events that took place last week and bring you up to speed. Tuesday, the 10th, one of my private trusted contacts told me about a conversation he heard involving a person who is a spouse of a military service member. And this person was ordered, or requested, I should say, they can't order dependents to do anything, requested to go to a classified briefing where they were first told they had to sign a non-disclosure agreement before the briefing began. At the briefing, they were told about Nibiru, what we also call Planet X or Wormwood, and the effects that very soon this planetary-sized object would be having on our Earth, including massive flooding of the East Coast. Now, this all took place on the East Coast, very near the Atlantic Ocean, and they were told that they would be given an evacuation order, that they could take only a carry-on bag and one piece of luggage, abandoning all clothing, personal property, furniture, appliances, automobiles, and so forth, when this order came. And they may have as much as 2 weeks' notice, they may not. We'll get into a little bit more detail after this first break. Several of my listeners, they have friends and relatives that are active duty military, that they started making inquiries about these briefings, and they could find that nobody they knew were attending these briefings. Well, I got a little story for you here. I watched a film last night, Flags of Our Fathers. It's a Clint Eastwood movie, very well done. Near the beginning of the film, there's a scene where this Navy convoy is crossing the Pacific Ocean and a young Marine accidentally falls overboard. And his buddies are yelling at him and making fun of him and thinking that there's going to be an effort to rescue him. And it takes about 30 seconds for them to realize that this convoy is not going to slow down for one man overboard. And they sail off while the man is flailing in the ocean before he dies. Point being, the mission comes first. And the person who was at the briefing I'm talking about, their spouse is part of what's called continuity of government contingency planning, which may constitute 1 or 2% of the people in the U.S. military. The rest of you aren't. 97-98% of the U.S. military is not part of continuity of government contingency planning when it comes to the highest levels, that is. That's why they're not being briefed. And they won't be briefed. When the time comes, the military will do what they can to evacuate their people, but there's not going to be any prior warning like there was for the person at this briefing. This all began in 1979. I had an individual call me yesterday and say, John, there's no such thing as Planet X. Excuse me? There's no such thing? The documentation is so thorough and so well done, I don't know how anybody could deny it. There's a DVD I offer for sale at my website, Are We Alone in the Universe, where Dr. Robert Harrington talks about the 10th planet, Planet X, Nibiru, Wormwood. Now, if you're going to draw a paycheck for looking at stars as an astronomer, how's this for credentials? Supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory, Dr. Robert Harrington, being interviewed in his office at the United States Naval Observatory, talking about Planet X as a matter of scientific fact, not scientific speculation. Giving its size, 3 to 5 times size of Earth, talking about having a far larger iron-nickel core than Earth, which gives it more bang for the buck in terms of electrical energy and gravitational force. Showing its orbit. Now, I'll stack up those credentials against anybody. Supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory. When I first saw this video, I thought to myself, here's the smoking gun. I'm sorry if you can't believe the supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory, but there's my evidence, along with multiple other sources of evidence. My friend John DiNardo has done an excellent job of presenting the documentation going back to the early 1980s of mainstream notice of the 10th planet, which was, of course, by about 1982-83, had been pretty thoroughly wiped away. Continuity of government contingency planning. That's why, if you watch my DVD, you'll see the evidence there, but I'll just give you a few little tidbits. If you do some simple Google searches, you'll find that the last 30 years, the government's been quietly doing these things. Moving the CIA from Langley, Virginia to Denver. Moving the National Security Agency from Fort Meade, Maryland to Denver. And to Utah. And to Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta will be the new eastern capital, by the way, kind of a secondary to Denver. Atlanta, Georgia is the highest altitude major city east of the Mississippi. Do this search. EPA and libraries. Plural, EPA libraries. The EPA, about 5 years ago, shut down all its libraries, even to their own people. Largest collection of English language documentation of the things we need to know to stay safe. They announced publicly, well, we've did this as a cost savings measure. Then the General Accountability Office comes back and says, no, gentlemen, it costs more to shut down these libraries than to keep them open. Well, yes, they were shut down, but no, they weren't destroyed. They were taken to safe havens, probably in Denver. I don't know where they were taken. At this dependence briefing, the dependents were shown a map. The dependent that is my contact said that the map they were shown is very similar to the map on my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, is showing coastal flooding of the Atlantic Coast, Pacific Coast, and Gulf Coast. Very similar. Not exact, but very similar. Now, the flooding could come from a couple different possibilities. One would be a pole shift, which we expect 15 to 20 degrees, or the massive ridge of rock and dirt there in the Canary Islands falling into the ocean, which has happened before, causing a tidal wave, which would wipe out the east coast of North America. That's the two sources. We got a caller here, Mike in Connecticut. Good morning, Mike. Mike, are you there?
I'm here. I follow you on YouTube because I don't get you around in Connecticut. So I watch some of your videos on YouTube.
Right.
And I'm just a little concerned because I try to talk to my wife and she don't want to hear it. So it's like, is there anything that I should be particularly looking for when I should start getting ready to move towards the central?
Well, by the time you see anything, Mike, we'll be. A few months, maybe a few weeks away from this happening. To properly get ready for this means an entire change of lifestyle and the way you live, being self-sufficient in growing your own food, having the water that you own and control yourself, potable water, away from a major metropolitan area at a good altitude.
So you're saying like 700 feet?
The Navy says 400 feet. I say 800 just to be safe. It's a large undertaking for most families to do it and do it right. It takes time and it takes money. You don't want to be a refugee, Mike. You really don't. If you have no choice, obviously, it's what you do.
Yeah, well, it's tough in Connecticut because they tax you so much you have no money.
Yep. Yeah,
it's tough on this side.
You guys on the East Coast, we have a lot of freedom here in the Midwest. I can go out to the local hardware store, Mike, buy what I need to build a new building, build it, and there be no inspections, no permits, no licenses. I just build what I want to build here in my place.
Now you're in Missouri, correct, St. Louis?
That's right. That's right. Out here in the Ozarks.
That's why I was thinking the head before I even.
Can you build a new garage? Can you build a new garage in your backyard without permission from the government?
Not at all.
Well, there you go.
Not at all. All right. So by the time if you see anything, then it's already too late, basically.
To be anything except a refugee, yes, sir.
Okay. Right. Right, thank you very much, John.
Okay, you're welcome, Mike. We got about 3 or 4 minutes, and we'll have a guest at the bottom of the hour. We'll be talking about the best lubrication for your motor vehicles. And, yeah, I mean, if you have no choice, obviously, you're going to become a refugee. Alex Jones and some others have been talking about these FEMA camps for years. Those are real. But they're not necessarily to lock up the patriots and the people who own guns and believe in our Lord Jesus. They may just be nothing more than refugee camps for those who manage to survive the flooding and get inland. There's going to be probably several million of these people that will survive and manage to get inland. And very likely, that's all these camps are. Nothing more, nothing less than refugee camps. They won't be pleasant places. People that have been in them, that I've talked to, they say they'd rather tie a piece of plastic between two trees and live in that than go to another refugee camp, a FEMA camp. Got a caller here, John in Wisconsin. Good morning, John.
Long time talking to you. I went through Missouri back in March. I thought about you. I was on my way to see Sheldon Day in Tucson.
Good.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I talked to my cousin's daughter. She's in a Navy station on the East Coast, and she's going to do some snooping around to find out. She hasn't heard anything about what you're talking about. I did send her the information. She's going to check into this and talk to a friend that works at the Department of Defense. We want to get to the bottom and see how true this is or not, you know.
Well, this young lady is not part of continuity of government contingency planning, which is why she's out of the loop.
Right, yeah. She's going to see if she hears anything. But
depending on who she talks to, she might. If it's somebody she doesn't know, she may end up getting herself in trouble. If it's a trusted friend, they may confide in her.
Right.
So.
And a lot of people say, well, we're fear-mongering, we're making this up. Let me give proof, folks. Remember NASA director, you can check it on YouTube. He told the NASA employees to prepare what's going on, prepare, especially people living on the coast. Prince Charles, just a couple days, weeks ago, he warned about climate change. It's going to be a disaster.
Right.
If we hear something come from the royal family, something's going on, like Queen Elizabeth 3 years ago when she opened up the parliament, she said, I want my government to prepare for, well, she didn't say prepare, but to get ready for climate change. And my mouth just dropped open like, whoa, this was on C-SPAN.
Right.
So when you get people that high up, something's coming. Planet X or not Planet X, something's coming down the road here.
Right. Yeah, and we're not talking about SUV exhaust or cow flatulence here. We're talking about violent, violent, rapid climate change.
Right,
John,
right.
Thank you for your call, sir. We appreciate
it.
Yes,
thank you. Yep.
Here's our bottom of the hour break. David in San Francisco. Good morning, David.
I tuned in late, but did I catch you say that the global warming would raise the oceans 400 feet? I've never heard numbers like that. I think they're talking about 20 feet in, by 2050.
Well, here's the proof, and it's the numbers you're talking about are mainstream numbers. Have you watched Al Gore's movie, by the way?
Not entirely. I don't really trust him, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, there's science in there, as well as science fiction.
Right.
Barbara, I talked to very few people who watched the entire documentary. You need to. And here's what he says. The middle of the century, which would be about 2050, there'll be violent ocean rising, which, when they say violent, I mean...
Oh, no, that would be quicker than that. That's why I don't trust him. There isn't a couple of inches, but the thing is that that still takes hundreds of millions of acres worldwide. You know,
right.
We're talking about the entire ocean rising. So
actually, what happens, David, there's okay.
Well, it increases the opportunity.
David, hold on, David. Sea levels measure at Cornwall, England. That's where they got a horizontal line on a rock at the edge of the ocean, Cornwall, England. Now, when you get down to the equator, the water is not quite 500 feet above that line in Cornwall, England. That bulge of water extends more than 1,000 miles north and south of the equator. It is literally millions of cubic miles of water held in place by two things, gravity and the rotation of the Earth. Anything that disrupts the rotation of the Earth, David, is going to disrupt that bulge of water.
Oh,
that's where the flooding is going to come from, a pole shift of about 15 degrees or so.
Yeah, tidal surge is basically from it slopping around. Right. I don't disagree with a thing like that. I was just talking about for the average, and it still could come to, you know, we've had increased tsunamis and earthquakes around the Pacific Basin, and to me, just raising it a few inches is putting a huge amount of hydrostatic pressure on the fault lines. And to me, these latest earthquakes are all relative to the oceans rising and putting more pressure on the land. So these, even a few inches is a profound damaging effect on, buildings, roads, bridges, all the structures of things that humans have built to the shoreline. And
right.
You had an earlier caller from the East Coast who was talking about what to do. Well, if we were smart, we would take apart everything at the shoreline, pull it back a half mile. Now, that'd be a huge project, but you don't want to have the idea of having a, oceanfront view in 100 years looking at the graves of people before. You want to dismantle it, pull it back, make sure it's clean before the oceans rise, and then you're going to have the opportunity to have good quality fishing, good shoreline, less pollution.
David, if it was incremental... what you're saying would be true. It will be a violent matter where we will have a 400-foot-plus tidal wave in a matter of a few days. That's what's going to happen, according to the U.S. Navy, not John Moore.
Well, I don't know. You're talking about if the circulation of the Atlantic Ocean freezes up because of the fresh water pouring in?
Well, that's a different matter. That doesn't involve flooding.
Cause sloshing, though?
The slosh will come from the pole shift. When the Gulf Stream stopped on June 12, 2010, that started changing the weather patterns. Now they're saying the North Atlantic Oscillation has slowed down, which is acting as a blocking mechanism, blocking the jet stream from moving its normal west-to-east pattern, which is causing this drought and incredible heat that we're seeing. So these things are all connected. I would encourage you, David, to go to my website and look at the photographs of the Navy maps showing the Gulf Stream having before it stopped and after it stopped. The U.S. Navy publishes a brand new map every 24 hours of all sea surface temperatures worldwide. And we have a screen capture from before June 2010 showing the Gulf Stream operating normally and a screen capture after that where it's slowed down to the point where there basically is no Gulf Stream anymore in the way that we've always known it.
Hey, well, to let you go into your guest, I tell you, it would still make sense to dismantle the shorelines as much as we can, take that stuff as far inland as we can. You know, if you're saying 400 feet, 20 feet is going to be a horror. They talk about, I think, 11 feet would make the bay in California go all the way up to Sacramento, which is like 100 miles inland.
That's right.
So, and that's just like 11 feet as opposed to your, 400 feet.
Right.
So this,
David,
I don't think
David, you're enough. Right, and we do appreciate your call. Thank you, David.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, my guest had a conflict this morning, so he's not going to join us, so we have another 20 minutes to visit here. David is obviously a bright guy who's done his due diligence when it comes to mainstream science. And there's another level of science, what Professor McKinney would call Tier 1 science, the science you're not allowed to hear about, the science that was used to create the briefings that U.S. Navy veterans, or new active duty Navy people, they're veterans now, of course they're out, but active duty Navy people started getting beginning in 1979. I've traced this back to probably one of the first briefings given to Navy admirals in New Orleans in 1979. One of my listeners, a regular listener, he's up in Montana, he was a young sailor, setting up the briefing room, the lights, the sound system, the tables, the chairs. And there was a map on the wall. He saw the map. No, he wasn't part of the briefing. He didn't know what the map meant in 1979 until 2009 when he saw the first disc of my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government's Been Telling You. He called me up. He says, John, I've seen your map. He says, John, these Navy admirals showed up for a Saturday briefing. He says, John, admirals don't do weekend briefings. They show up all happy, glad to see each other, smoking cigars, slapping each other on the back, telling jokes. How's the wife? How's the kids? They went into the briefing room. When they left the briefing room, they all looked like their puppy dogs had died. They had got one of the first briefings about this violent ocean rise of 400 feet that would happen, as they were told, during their lifetimes. No other time frame given. During their lifetimes. Now, because I live in the Ozarks and I'm a public person, I do concealed carry training. I've met about two dozen of these Navy veterans, most of them submarine veterans, who were at these briefings. And they all were told the same thing as the Navy admirals, that during their lifetimes there would be an event where there would be a violent rise in the oceans over a matter of a couple of days, 400 feet plus, wiping out the East Coast, the West Coast, and the Gulf Coast. And that when they retired, they might just want to consider moving to the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks as a known safe haven for the following reasons. Distance from major bodies of water, good altitude, long growing season, plenty of water, a very homogeneous population, no major cities, and a population, a native population here, that thinks that hunting and fishing and gardening are God's gifts to mankind. Very self-reliant people in general. We have our problems, but in general, very tough, self-reliant people. Now, that's my reality. My reality is based on multiple debriefs of men who sat in these classified briefings and were told what would happen in the future. My friend Vince Finelli down in Springfield, Missouri, he relocated to the Ozarks because he knew it was a safe haven. He didn't know about the violently rising oceans. He just figured out a certain part of it on his own. And over several years, Vincent kept bumping into and meeting people who retired from the various intelligence agencies, people who retired from the U.S. Navy intelligence and U.S. Navy in general, who had relocated to the Springfield area in the Ozarks. And he never understood why until he watched my DVD, which he did with his entire family in stone-cold silence, I might add. There's a doctor from Texas, a PhD doctor from Texas, who recently relocated to the Ozarks because of watching my DVD. I hope to be meeting him soon. The Doctor of Divinity, actually, not PhD. Very bright man and very articulate. I'm looking forward to meeting and talking to him because he knows a lot of the things that I know, and I think of a few things I don't know, which is going to make it a great conversation for myself. This information is disturbing. Of course it is. You wouldn't be normal if you did not find it disturbing. You need to do your own homework. The DVD that I sell, Global Warming, What the Government Has Been Telling You, presents a bibliography at the end of books that you can get and read, real books that really are in the Library of Congress that provide hard scientific documentation about the cyclical nature of human beings living on this planet. That's a big part of it. We go through this 3,600-year cycle. Very regular and very predictable 3,600-year cycle. Coming up out of the mud and disaster, getting to a level of civilization, only to be smacked back down into the mud again. They have to start all over. This cycle we've got up about as high as we've gotten in about the last 12,000 years. 12,000 years ago, our ancestors, and these weren't aliens, our ancestors, had the ability to split the atom and space flight both, only to lose all of that. Well, we're at the edge of this once again. The powers that be have every intention of surviving it. They've built their deep underground bases. They've stocked them at your expense, by the way, your tax dollars full of freeze-dried food, movies, and everything you can imagine down there to make a comfortable life for themselves as long as they need to stay there. In the meantime, we'll be left to our own devices. The powers that be have done an excellent job of obfuscation and cover-up and distraction. Al Gore's film is not something he dreamed up. That's the official government line that comes from NASA and NOAA, that these events are a consequence of human activity, and at the middle of the century, which is what, 38 years from now, the middle of the century is when things will really get bad. Well, it's not going to be the middle of the century. It's going to be very soon. Very soon. I'm talking almost daily with my friend Tim Spencer, and we're contacting our contacts and comparing notes. We're both very concerned. We're both husbands, fathers, and grandfathers. We have a lot of responsibility, both of us, and we want to make sure that people we love and care about are going to be safe. That's my responsibility. I don't know what yours is. Yours is to take care of yourself and the people you care about. It's going to be different for different people. Do your own homework. Prove it to yourself. You need to check out Steve Quayle's website, Stan Dale's website. My friend John DiNardo is doing a lot of good work. I don't have his website handy. I'll be talking to John the next day or two about some related matters. I'll be talking to Stan Dale and Steve Quayle about related matters the next few days also. A lot of things going on here. A lot of things. My friend Lucas, he's released his DVDs, made them public. They're on YouTube. You can watch them. Great researcher. His video presentations are very informative and very educational, what he's put together, and I encourage people to study them. My friend Jim Mechanic, Professor Mechanic, if you want information from real scientists, that's where you go. Get his books. Read his books. Get his DVDs and CDs and listen to his radio show. Educate yourself. Education is a powerful tool. Education is what you need to make informed decisions, not flippant, spur-of-the-moment decisions. You want to be doing the right thing for the right reasons. The majority of you will continue your lifestyle with your employment, wherever you might be, whether it's close to one of these oceans or not. I understand that. You need a plan B. You need a plan B, which will include a way of getting away from the coast on no notice to a safe haven where hopefully there'll be people waiting for you with shelter, food, water, medical supplies, and so forth. Charlene, good morning.
It would appear that Fayetteville will be going underwater, don't you think?
What will be?
Fayetteville, Fort Bragg.
Oh, I haven't looked at the map. What's the altitude there?
Okay, the most that I've been able to find this morning is...
Hold that thought, Charlene. All right, we're back, Lisa. We're back. And Charlene, before the break, you were mentioning that my former home, Fort Bragg, may be underwater. What do you know what their altitude above sea level is?
Well, yes, I've got Google Earth open right now, and I can give you the coordinates that I have. 35 degrees, well, I'll put it right on where it says Fayetteville. 35 degrees, 3 minutes, 13 seconds north, 78 degrees, 52 minutes, 43 seconds west, and depending on where I move my mouse, I get elevations of 105 feet above sea level, all the way over to 163 feet above sea level, 197, 173. One place in the area is 221 feet. So, you know, we're looking at less than 300 feet above sea level.
Well, it sounds like Fort Bragg and Fayetteville are going to be toast. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. And I rewatched your video again this weekend, what the government isn't telling you, you know,
right.
About, okay, and I want to encourage all of your listeners to buy it, rewatch it, make notes. There's so much information in there you may not catch the first time, so watch it again. Pay attention to John. He's not giving you nonsense. He's giving you the truth, and prepare.
Well, I appreciate that, Charlene. And you're up in the mountains of North Carolina yourself.
2,206 feet above sea level.
Way to go. I am so happy to hear that.
Yeah, but I don't plan on leaving. You know, I plan to stay in the mountains because we have, I know we're going to get refugees here, that's for sure. But I'm trying to prepare for that, too.
Okay, well, I know that in my area, the local sheriffs talk about blowing the bridges between our area and St. Louis.
To keep out refugees?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, you know what? That's very interesting, John, because a girlfriend and I have noticed what we consider suspicious activity on I-40. Between our area over to the Tennessee line. And I mentioned this to a mutual friend who said, well, shoot, the first thing you do in war is blow up bridges and blow up roads.
Right. Well, if you want to stop the flow of refugees, and it's a good-sized body of water, more than 8 or 10 feet deep, yeah, that would be a very effective thing to do.
Uh-huh. Well, listen, John, thanks for all you do for all of us. And have a great day.
Okay, appreciate it, Charlene. We don't have time for any more calls, and the show's just about over here. Don't make any life-changing decisions based solely on what a radio talk show host tells you. That would be a foolish thing to do. That's why I bring the documentation to the table. The documentation is extensive and very solid. The scientific documentation about what I'm saying is very solid, but you need to read it for yourself. I think I hear music. I do. That's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. You all be safe out there. Buy lots of ammunition. Never give up your guns. The code words for today, for those of you behind enemy lines, the grass needs to be trimmed. The grass needs to be trimmed. Be safe, and God bless America.